Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, Director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today we continue our probing study concerning a major component in end times Bible prophecy, and that would be the restoration and regathering of the Jewish people back into the land of Israel. And this will be part 5 of our series entitled Israel, the Super Sign of the End Times. In part 4, we examined how anti-Semitism and the dispersion of the Jewish people throughout the nations of the world was actually foretold and prophesied by God in His Word. And we discovered that these prophecies given some 3,500 years ago, the oldest being 3,500 years ago, have been fulfilled as we look at Jewish history, thus demonstrating that the Word of God has been written by a divine author who is omniscient, who knows the future before it unfolds and accurately foretells that unfolding. And Israel is a prime example of that. We mentioned that the ugly and brutal fact of anti-Semitism is a darker side of Jewish history and the most unpleasant. Nevertheless, the God of Israel did indeed predict from the outset of Israel's national history that the Jewish people would be hated, harmed, and persecuted by the Gentile nations of the world during the long period of the diaspora. And we discovered that it was a event prophesied in the Word of God throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, let's continue on in this vein. What we have described thus far in these prophecies about anti-Semitism and Israel's dispersion found in Deuteronomy and other parts of Scripture is, when you take them all together, they comprise the collective prediction of the rise of anti-Semitism. The term anti-Semitism was coined by Wilhelm Marr in 1878, who himself was a virulent anti-Semite. Anti-Semitism, simply defined, is the racial and religious hatred of the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism, simply defined, is the racial and religious hatred of the Jewish people. And it is an irrational hatred, of course. The ugly phenomenon of anti-Semitism really began the moment God chose Abraham to father a new people, through whom the Redeemer of the world would come, and this was the response of Satan himself. That is, anti-Semitism was the response of Satan himself to destroy the means by which in the seed of the woman, through the seed of Abraham and his descendants, the devil would meet his final end and defeat. This is why Satan really is the spiritual author of anti-Semitism, and the reason why he inspires evil men to hate the Jews is so that they can carry out his nefarious plan to destroy them, because God said that it would be through the seed of the woman, and then later on in the book of Genesis he would say it would be through the seed of Abraham that the blessing of redemption would come to all the nations of the world, and that would eventually include the doom of Satan. The devil's simple strategy was this: destroy the Jewish people, and there will be no Savior to defeat me after the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's strategy is still the same, and it is still in place, as he has sought throughout the centuries following Christ to do the same, so that this same Messiah will not come back to a restored and redeemed Israel to fulfill those promises made to them that still await fulfillment at the second advent. Furthermore, God makes a promise and oath in Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37. And in that oath, he promises the Jewish people would continue as a nation forever. Let me read this to you. It's an amazing prophecy that guarantees the eternal existence of the Jewish people. Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Here we have an amazing promise in which God guarantees the eternal existence of the nation of Israel. In fact, the Lord says that the order and composition of the universe depicted in the sun, moon, and the stars, and the sea, these things would first have to dissolve and be no more if he were to allow Israel to become non-existent as a nation. What an amazing promise that God gives here, which guarantees the Jews' eternal existence. They reflect the faithfulness of God and his unconditional love for those whom he chooses. Notice in this promise here, there's nothing about God ceasing to love Israel, ceasing to protect and preserve them because they were disobedient or it's amazing. I'm lost for words here. This promise is amazing. Because no matter what Israel does, no matter how bad and reprehensible their behavior has been towards God and His commandments, God will still protect and preserve them forever. More so than He would even the ordinances that govern the operation and existence of the universe. Quite amazing is this promise. I'm almost chucked up by it. Why? Because this is a lesson, a teaching for the church that if God is faithful to Israel, no matter what, He will also be faithful to the redeemed of His church, no matter what. Because God is not a respecter of persons. The only thing the Lord respects is faith. Faith in His Son. Faith in the promises made in His Word. Amen. Well, Satan's strategy for creating the inimical reality of anti-Semitism is nothing less than the complete annihilation and obliteration of the Jewish people, so that this divine eternal promise of their permanent existence in Jeremiah 31 as the distinct chosen nation, these would be nullified. God's integrity and word would be proven unreliable, false, and wrong. if indeed Satan had the power to annihilate the Jewish people once and for all and make them extinct. So you see, the very character of God is at stake when we're talking about the reality and existence of Israel and the Jewish people. Indeed, when Yahweh chose Israel as the channel for the Savior to come into the world and redeem humanity from sin and death, Satan also targeted and chose them also for destruction, knowing that they would be God's instrumental means by which he was to suffer ultimate defeat. Revelation chapter 12 is an interesting prophetic chapter in the book of Revelation. There we have, through the use of symbolic imagery, the depiction of the struggle between Israel and Satan, who seeks to destroy Israel. In chapter 12 of Revelation, Israel is personified as a woman clothed with the sun, fighting against the fiery red dragon, who stands for Satan. This struggle is described to prophetically narrate and depict the long conflict Satan has had with Israel throughout history, and how such a conflict will come to a final conclusion during the future 7-year tribulation period. Scripture reveals that the ultimate cause and origin for anti-Semitism is supernatural and found in the perfidious design and person of Satan the devil. Men like the Pharaoh of Exodus, Haman, Adolf Hitler, Yasser Arafat, and the numerous Arab terrorist organizations, all these are human pawns to carry out Satan's final solution against the Jewish people. But in the end, all people who attempt to harm and destroy the chosen people, God said he would curse and overthrow with extinction in the end, according to the solemn and eternal oath he swore to Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. In Genesis 12:3, God said, "I will curse those who curse you." And my friend, history has thoroughly confirmed that promise to be true. Every person in every nation who has sought to harm, injure, persecute, or destroy the Jewish people has faced the ultimate penalty by God, extinction. In spite of all the terrible atrocities the precious Jewish people have suffered for the last 2,000 years, the God of Israel has kept them distinct and preserved as a separate people. Today, one with a discerning mind can readily see the subtle side of anti-Semitism constantly exhibited by the condescending an accusatory manner in which modern Israel is constantly spoken of by the news media, which really in itself is a considerable subject to document and rightly comment upon. But presently, our study will stay within the parameters of the Scripture and those Bible prophecies dealing with the Jewish people. God foretold that during the long period of dispersion, the Jewish people would have no rest from the Gentile nations. We saw that particularly in the last lesson we had together. God, in these prophecies, God foretold that His people would be maligned, persecuted, and killed in large numbers wherever they sojourned, due to the pervasive and perennial presence of anti-Semitism. Leviticus 26 is one of those prophecies, and I will read it to you. Leviticus 26, verses 36 and 39. God says here, "And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over another, as it were, before a sword, when no one pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. Also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away." And so, this would be the general condition of Israel and diaspora because of unbelief and disobedience to the Lord. But in spite of this, the Lord has triumphantly preserved Israel and is bringing them back to their ancient homeland against all adverse odds. History has indisputably confirmed the aforementioned prophecy given some 3,500 years ago, literally true and fulfilled in the history of the Jewish people. So much so that I think the summative observation from Paul Grosser and Edward Halperin in their book, The Causes and Effects of Anti-Semitism, definitely applies here and underscores what God foretold would be their condition in the diaspora. These two authors write, "No people in history has been hated, maligned, and persecuted so continuously and systematically as the Jews. In light of the history of anti-Semitism, the continued survival of the Jews and Judaism is a major historical triumph. The continuity and persistence of anti-Semitism over the past 19 centuries indicated that it is an integral part of Western culture. It has existed in slave, feudal, capitalist, and socialist economic systems. It has existed in monarchies, aristocracies, theocracies, democracies, dictatorships, police states, and authoritarian and totalitarian regimes. It has existed in religious, secular, and atheistic societies. It has existed in rural and urban populations, in small towns and suburbs. It has existed even in places where there were no Jews. No matter what the Jews did, there has been no sure escape. The Lord Jesus predicted that one of the signs indicating the end of this age would be the universal hatred of the Jewish people by the Gentile nations on account of Him. The Lord said in Matthew 24:9, the Lord said this, "You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." So, worldwide anti-Semitism is thus a sign for Israel and the world that we are living near the period of the Messiah's return, as foretold by Jesus almost 2,000 years ago in Matthew 14. The regathering and restoration of the Jewish people to their ancient homeland of Israel is one of the most prominent and recurring prophecies in Holy Scripture. And we covered some of those prophecies in past lessons on this program. Remember that the Bible mentions two periods of dispersion in which the Jewish people would be scattered from the land of Israel due to their disobedience to God and their unbelief towards Messiah Jesus. The first dispersion initially began with the northern kingdom of Israel being taken into exile and captivity by the Assyrian invaders around 721 BC. This first dispersion was then completed when the southern kingdom was conquered and deported to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. The Jews from the northern kingdom and southern kingdom were allowed to return to the land 70 years later under the joint and capable leadership of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. And then after that, the Jews remained in the land for about 400 years, although under Gentile supervision and control. The second dispersion of Jews from the land, that was predicted by Jesus 30 years before it happened, occurred by the Romans in 70 AD. Now, it is important to determine and distinguish which of the two dispersions is meant when looking at the prophecies of Scripture that deal particularly with the scattering and regathering of the Jewish people. Because, here's why this is important, the prophecies about the second dispersion and regathering are frequently made as an antecedent and conspicuous sign indicating the soon return of the Jewish Messiah to save the Jewish people. Let me say that again because I kind of stumbled there, but this is an important point. The prophecies about the second dispersion and regathering are frequently made as an antecedent, that means something coming before, and a conspicuous sign indicating the soon return of the Messiah to save the Jewish people. In other words, regathering of the Jewish people from the second dispersion is prophesied to occur prior to the return of the Messiah. It segues in to the coming and return of the Messiah. And of course, scriptures indicating that are Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah 11, 11 and 12, Isaiah 49, Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah chapters 59 through 66, Jeremiah chapters 3, 16, 23, chapters 30 through 33, Ezekiel chapters 11, 20, 34, 36 through 39, Hosea chapters 2, 6, 11, 14, Joel 3, Amos 9, Obadiah chapter 1, and so forth. A lot of passages from the scriptures predicting that the regathering of the Jews from the second dispersion would be an antecedent sign, a sign occurring before the Messiah to indicate His soon return. Don't forget that you can listen to these teachings on our website at www.searchthescripturesonline.org. I had to hurriedly go through these passages detailing the regathering prophecies, but you can go to our website and re-listen to this program and jot these prophecies down to study for yourself. And some of these prophecies we have already looked at, and some of them we will look at in future programs. So whenever these restoration, regathering to the land prophecies are found in Scripture, they are prefaced or include the word again to denote a second time. And then obviously, they must refer to the regathering after the second dispersion from Israel in AD 70. With both dispersions, the Jewish people never forgot their God-given homeland of Israel or its capital, Jerusalem. The Psalms and the prophets are filled with a Jewish longing and ardent desire to return to the land and worship the Lord in Jerusalem. By those Jews who were scattered and removed from the land God gave to them forever. This longing of millennia is what the Jewish people call Zionism. Zionism. Zionism has its roots squarely in the Jewish Bible and has been the unifying force for uniting Jews together as a people and a nation to return to the land of Israel and permanently remain there, never to be removed or dispersed again. Zionism derives from the word, from the Hebrew word Zion or Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem, another name for the Jewish people, and by extension, another name for the land of Israel. The word Zion has biblical, national, religious, political, and messianic overtones and implications. So, the Bible is Zionistic. It is for Zionism. And every Bible-believing Christian who believes the Scriptures are the Word of God and who interprets them correctly will see that God gave the land of Zion to the Jewish people. Therefore, Christians should support and pray for the success of Zionism because Zionism, at its heart, is the attempt of the Jews to return to their ancient homeland of Israel to live there. Wendell Stearns, in his excellent biblical survey of Zionism, provides a good, comprehensive overview on the central place Zionism holds in the life of the Jewish people when he writes, "Zionism, formerly a desire realized in a movement first to establish, now to support, the State of Israel, is a national, religious, and spiritual concept that goes back for millennia. It is debated as a concrete geopolitical concept and was struggled over up to and since the physical restoration of the state. It has become the unifying concept of world Jewry, as much in the woes as in the wonders of Israel's regained nationhood. For many, Zionism has become so completely identified as a national and political movement that secular Zionists resent the claims Judaism and Christianity have made upon it. Nevertheless, to identify Zion and Zionism only as a recent phenomenon or to reckon it solely as a Jewish expression of mankind's aspiration for ethnic and governmental sovereignty is a mistake. We err if we overlook the historical and spiritual foundations and core that make it such a pivotal force in today's world. Zionism is a biblical concept, thoroughly rooted in the Old and New Testaments. Well, I see my time up. My time is up. And we will be back here next week. God bless you. Please pray for our ministry as we go to Israel and bring back to them the Jewish Messiah. The announcer will tell us how you can contact us at the end of this program. Pray about supporting us. You can support our radio ministry, our teaching ministry, and our gospel outreach ministry, to Israel. And the Bible says we are to bless the chosen people. So support us so that we may fulfill that biblical mandate to bless the chosen people. And as you do, God promises to bless those who bless Israel. Genesis 12:1-3. Until next time, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.